الحمد لله Allah Ta'ala has given us this tawfiq that we are collected and gathered here, and with Allah Ta'ala's fadl, with his blessings and grace, we have benefited from various ibadat, and this is Allah's mercy. May Allah Ta'ala accept. But there is one point here we need to realize and think, that what was our objective of being gathered here? Because if an individual doesn't know his objective, then he cannot get the result. He cannot get the desired result. That if I know my objective is that I need to travel to a certain place, then I will realize that destination, because I know that's my objective. This is the case, isn't it? So if I don't know what is my maqsad, my objective, and I leave home, then I'll just wander around on the streets and get lost. If I don't have a maqsad, many people say that those people have no destination. He goes out in the morning, sits here, goes somewhere else, speaks to somebody else. So, but those who have an objective, he knows he'll go open his shop and something will come home, some money. He's got an objective, he's leaving and coming back. So this is the question that comes to my mind, and maybe you will solve my conundrum. Yeah, what was the objective of coming here? Now, if you say, we came here to pray namaz, salah. Yeah? No, there was a bigger objective for which we came. We came to do dhikr. In reality, that objective, the prime objective, is greater than even this, to come to do dhikr. So in the same way, all the different answers we can state, we can, but the reality is that maqsad is greater and higher and above and is greater than all of that. Why? Because it's such an objective. For that reason, all our ibadat can be accepted. The salah we prayed, sitting here, that would be accepted. The dhikr we did, that would be accepted. The ruchi recitation, that also. And I recited this dua just now, all the duas, all of those included. Everything is reliant on that one objective. That's why I'm saying that the objective was even greater. For example, if I say that salah is a great action, but I've said that this objective is higher than praying salah, because salah is the means, the reason that we have come for, the maqsad, the objective that we've come for. That if our objective is correct, then our salah will be accepted. For example, we want to pray salah. Our objective is to pray salah, big objective. But in reality, what we see is that the means to take us to salah, wudu. If we don't do wudu, then will our salah be complete or accepted? No, it won't be. So sometimes the asbab, the means, the methods, they go beyond the maqsad. Yes? So that's why I'm saying that our maqsad for which we are sat here, the objective, then that is greater and bigger than all the ibadat, because it's the resource for our falah in the hereafter. And what is that objective? That's the resource, that's the thing that we depend on for success in the hereafter. That maqsad objective is to crush the desires. What is our objective? To suppress and eliminate the desires. My brothers, nafs, when it is killed, then our salah will be accepted. Otherwise, how can the salah filled with nafs be accepted? The ibadah where nafs is attached, Allah will not accept that ibadah. That's what the Quran says. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا. Successful is he who crushes his desires. Salah will be accepted if he crushes his desires. Ibadat will be accepted if he crushes his desires. If our nafs is not crushed and eliminated, then crush the nafs will be contaminating all our deeds, and Allah Ta'ala doesn't like contamination. He doesn't like mixture. Doesn't matter whatever work of the dunya we're doing at this moment in time, remember this. But if we do not focus on our nafs and crush our desires, my brothers, remember, on the day of judgment we'll realize people might praise you and say you are this and that and put you on a high pedestal, but remember one point, that if a person's nafs is not eliminated, if it is not eradicated, then that individual cannot be successful. So dhikr and adhkar that we do, all of this, the reality, why are we gathered? The maqsad, the objective is that our nafs needs to be crushed, eliminated, moved out of the way. We need to hit the nafs, crush the nafs. Now, has it ever been that if you want to hit something or affect something, then without a sort of weapon, can you hit somebody or something? Have you ever heard that? For example, okay, you're sat here and a scorpion comes out. First and foremost, what will people do? They'll try to hit that scorpion. Yes, kill it. They'll look for something, isn't it? Or will you do it with your hands? Will you try to kill the scorpion with your hands? You need something to hit the scorpion. The big insect. If you don't have a weapon, then it will bite you. The scorpion. Yeah, if you try it with your hand, it will bite your hand. If a snake comes, then you need something even bigger and stronger. It's a snake. Yeah, otherwise it will attack us. We'll all run around looking for a weapon to kill the snake. We'll come out with a big stick and beat it on the snake. With a scorpion, at least you'll pick up a shoe, isn't it, to hit the scorpion. Okay, if a small spider comes out to kill a spider, especially the women, they were with the chappals, tuck, tuck, tuck. Because if you hear tuck, 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 the slippers, it means they're hitting a spider. Yeah, because they picked up the weapon to kill the spider. And the bigger is the animal, the more it is big, the heavier the enemy, the bigger or stronger we need what? The weapon. You listen and understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? So what do we need? A weapon. Weighty and which has some force. If you're going to kill a lion, will you go to kill a lion? What do you need to kill a lion? You need a pistol or a gun, isn't it? Or a rifle. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to hunt a lion. Yes? And if you don't have anything in your hand, you're going to kill the lion. Then either you're going to kill yourself or you're going to kill the lion. Tell me then. What are you doing? Why? Because you need the weapon. So how funny it sounds now, ajeeb and weird, that we are claiming, I want to crush my desires. So what's the weapon to crush the desires? Yes, tell me, what's the weapon? Tell me, your nafs and base desires, maut is close to us, standing next to us. We are busy in our dunya. We don't even know the maqsad Allah has given to us in the Quran. Allah has told us clearly that when you come to me, then kill this wretched enemy of yours, the nafs, before you come to me. Kill it in the world and you'll be successful. Otherwise, your nafs will drag you. It will destroy you. قَدَ فْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Allah says that it will rub your nose in dust, your greatness, your glory, your ibadah, your ilm, your knowledge. Everything will be mixed and contaminated in the soil. So what we realize, my brothers, what we learn is that the biggest working effort that we need to make in the world is what? Say it loudly. To kill the nafs. We need to work the most. Is there some special man? Only the Sufis should do this? Only the people of the Khanqa should do this? Or do all the people in the world need to do this? Tell me. Everyone needs to do it. Is there some big muhaddith who does crushing the desires? No, he needs to do it. Yes, his nafs is with him. If there's a big alim, should he do it? Yes, because he's got nafs as well. Muhaddith needs to do it. Alim needs to do it. Every human being is lazim, essential. You have got nafs attached to you. Nafs is present. Nafs is attacking. So the first attempt of every mu'min, like if you know there's a mouse in this house, we say, oh, quickly get the mouse, quickly get the mouse. Or if there's a snake in the house, we'll all be running around looking for the snake. And I'm buying a house, and I know there's a snake in the house. Then, before I put the white paint on the walls, before cleaning it and installing the electricity, I want to kill that snake. So all ibadah, before any worship, any prayer, fard for every Muslim, that he recognizes his nafs. If he recognizes his nafs, then only can he kill the nafs. And then what do we do? Whoever does not do this, I tell you clearly, Quran is telling us, whoever does not do this, whoever does this, he's fine. If he's not doing this, he's unsuccessful. His nafs is contaminating every action of his. Doesn't matter what work of the deen he's doing. However high is that work of the deen. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? Totally correct is what I'm saying. Yes, you could make your house beautiful, painted, but the snake is there in some corner in the darkness. And it will bite you because you have not eliminated it. So you can do big ibadah, ibn mujahidah, stay up in the night, worship. But nafs, you have not eliminated it. Nafs is within you. It's residing within you. It's lazim, essential. We have to kill the nafs, crush the nafs. And to kill every enemy, what do we need? You need a weapon. So tell me, what is the weapon to kill the desires? MashaAllah, you are more brainier than me, logical than me, alim, hafid, zahid, and pious. And if until now, if you are killing your nafs, then you must have the weapon, isn't it? Or don't you have the weapon? So tell me, what's the weapon to crush the desires? Allahu Akbar. Yeah? So that means we are worshipping the nafs. We are worshipping the nafs in our lives. We are doing shirk. We're doing shirk. My words may be bitter, but it's a reality. Understand what I'm saying? Pay attention to what I'm saying. Focus. Yes? That Allah's court, everything will come out in Allah's court. Right, left, positive, negative. We can run and hide things here and sugarcoat them. Allah say, bring all his hisab kitab out. That put the nafs actions to the side and the actions without nafs put them aside. So how will they be put to the side, the actions without the nafs, if we never paid attention? If we bypass this important action, we never thought about this verse of the Quran. What an important, essential, critical topic. And we've hidden it. We've hidden this topic. In some generations, there were khanqas, uruj. Many, many khanqas. Such khanqas that ran akabareen, the teachers who crushed their desires and taught others. And what they did to do this. And today, that's why their names are famous in the world. All their names are mentioned by us in our akabareen, our pious elders. What was the weapon that they had? They understood that there's a weapon and we need to get this weapon and implement it. Because, for example, if you want to kill off something and if you don't select the right weapon, then that dangerous creature or enemy will wipe you away. If you want to eliminate the lion that's threatening you, if you don't have the right weapon, you will keep on swinging the stick and he'll jump on you and he'll bite your neck. So what you need is the right weapon for the right enemy, the nafs. If we think, yeah, I'm fighting the nafs and I don't have the correct weapon that I'm using, which is recommended by the company. Yeah, the company has recommended, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recommended the weapon. Yes, I tell you the weapon, use the weapon. If you use another weapon, instead of Allah saying, then you are assisting the nafs then. And you will die and the nafs will not die. The nafs will not be crushed. Fact. Shall I tell you today? Shall I tell you? Yes? Am I right? Then recite Durushi first. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam. If I tell you, will you practice on this? Inshallah. You're saying the truth? Honest? Because I am going to fulfill my duty and go, this point has come to my mind today. I look at myself and I thought, oh, this is a G point that's come to my mind, alhamdulillah. While I was walking and thinking, Allah put this in mind, that speak to your friends about this today. Don't just do gapshap and gather for dhikr, dhakir. What dhikr are you doing? What dhikr? Yes, that with your nafs you're doing dhikr, or without the nafs you're doing dhikr? Yeah, are you showing people that you're doing dhikr, or are you doing it for Allah's sake? Because when you'll have nafs contaminating, then all your actions will be for what? For someone strange. When you don't have nafs, then every action will be for who? Allah. That's right. Right. So tell me, where are we stood today? Those who don't even know the weapon to crush the desires, ask me. Ask me. If I don't know the weapon to crush the desires, how can I succeed? How can I? Yes? So the weapon is this, my brothers, that this desire, nafs cannot be killed off by anything. No ibadah can kill off the desires. No dhikr can kill off the desires. No tilawat of Quran can crush the desires. This is ajeeb enemy. Ajeeb, severe enemy, the desires, the nafs. There's only one tool, weapon that can kill off the desires. Only one thing Allah has mentioned in the Quran. Sohbat-e Sheikh, company of the Sheikh. Say it loudly, Subhanallah. Say it loudly, Subhanallah. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's given us the shud. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha qunu ma'as sadiqeen. Only one tool, one weapon, which is the first qawm that was prepared. In the whole universe, the first great generation, that until today there's no greater generation of people. The greatest sheikh came, he was the greatest. No sheikh can come like that afterwards. Yes, and the first qawm that was prepared, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them. And their first teaching, their first lesson number one was Sohbat-e Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No ibadah, no worship, nothing was taught to them. First lesson, lesson one, kafir who worshipped idols from decades. He came, saw the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ, all his kufr finished. Yes, he recited the kalima until qiyamah. No one in the world can be equivalent to the dust on the dust on the heel of his shoes of the sahabi. Is this not our belief? Why? That he, yes, the sawbat is sala. The person who had the sawbah of the good, he ended up good. And such adheem sawbat, Allah gave the initiation of their life. There was no nasiha, no Quran, no recitation, no bayan, no dhikr, no ilm. Nothing came, didn't even sit for a second, and they became the greatest human beings in the world. So adheem, Allah said, they are the stars in the sky. They are the stars shining in the sky. And they are such stars that there's no differentiation. Whichever star you follow, you will get to your destination. Subhanallah, the sahaba ikram. So every star's shine and glimmer and glow was unique, and they were not minor. And why were they the stars? So how does the nafs get crushed? From the sohbat of the sheikh. Well, if you have a sheikh, then you'll have the sohbat, isn't it? If you don't have a sheikh, no sohbat. There's only one action. The wali Allah, his company, that can only crush the desires, and no other action. As a Bayezid Bastan, great sheikh, Sayyidul Taifa, and all of the Muslimin, the scholars, the mashayikh, are envious of him. And his story I've told you before, mashallah, many times we've discussed it. And an alim of his time came to him, a scholar. And Qutb al-Aqtab Ghawth al-Adam Hazrat Fadhal Ali Qureshi rahmatullahi, he told us this story, this event, this incident, true incident. Nur ala Marqada, who was the Naqshbandi Sheikh of the Indian subcontinent, Hazrat Fadhal Ali Qureshi, he told us this event. He said, the Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, the Sheikh of his time, a scholar came to him, an alim. Just like many scholars come to get bayah with the Sheikh. And he was the alim of that time, alim. And he came to the Khanka, and Hazrat gave him bayah, Hazrat Bayezid Bastami. And it, quite a lot of time passed, quite a lot of time passed. And he was sat down, the scholar, and he was feeling that I'm not succeeding, I'm not progressing spiritually. So he went to his Sheikh. Hazrat Bayezid, he said, Sheikh, Hazrat, I'm not succeeding or progressing in this path. So Hazrat, because the Sheikh has his tariqah, his method, he knows his style, or when that he said the truth, subhanAllah, through the ajib, unique method, they crush their desires. Ajib, unique methods for each student. They know, he's a physician, spiritual physician, what's his nafs, what dose to give to him, how many milligrams, but, if the salik, the student, has niyam, I've come for this reason, I want to kill my desires, I swear by Allah, the sheikh will crush the desires of the student. I swear by Allah. If the student desires it. But if the student doesn't have the niyam, if the student doesn't have the niyam, it's just a waste of time, I'm going to sit there, do dhikr, I'm just following the foot, just say something, and just tradition. These are secondary things, there's no link. If you go to the Sheikh, wahid, one reason, wahid, one method, one objective is to crush the desires. And whoever has not got this intention all his life, he is unsuccessful, blind, he comes blind as a student, and he departs blind as a student. So my brothers, very important nasiha of the mashayikh ikram, our pious predecessors, our salaf, which was correct your niyas, refine your niyas. From libas you won't get nothing, from your face, from your bed, nothing. Our proper objective is what? That our nafs, our wretched desires needs to be crushed now. Sohbati of shaykh will only give us benefit and use when the student himself desires to crush his desires. Remember this point. If you don't have the niyat, if your niyat is wrong, if you desire want to be present in Allah's court on the day of judgment, I want my niyat, my nafs to be crushed so I can go successful. But if I don't have that niyat, then I won't succeed. There's a reason. I tell you many times, all the mashayikh who passed before us in the kitabs, the name written, is one thing written definitely, that with the shaykh, aqeedah, muhabbat, azmat, greatness of the shaykh should come into your heart. There's a reason. What's the reason for this? I'll tell you today. Why? Why should you have belief and sohbat and service of the Shaykh? We think that the Shaykh's talking for his own benefit to show his glory. No. When the Shaykh says this, behind there's a big, big reason. Why does the Shaykh tell the students that it's important to have aqeedah in the Shaykh, the respect for the Shaykh, the service for the Shaykh? Because if you don't have this in your heart, then your nafs can never be killed. No word of the Shaykh will benefit you if you don't have the right aqeedah, the right niyam. So, this alim came to Hazrat, and Hazrat knew that this alim, my student, he's empty, he's a box, he's not benefiting. Hazrat Sahib said, okay, your wazifa, and he was an alim. He said, what shall I do? He said, go to such a place and shave your beard and go into the shopping market, into the shopping center. What a big statement. Such an alim, a big alim. If I say to you, go and go to the barber and shave your beard and come in the morning, will anyone be prepared to do this? Nobody. Nobody. Why? Not for the reason be your fair, Allah be displeased. No. What will the people of the world say? Oh, what's happened to him? He shaved his beard. Look at nafs, how the nafs is grabbed. we'll be afraid of the world if we shave our beard, not because we're afraid of Allah or scared of Allah's dhulm or zakah. That's after. That's after. First and foremost, the people in the house will throw shoes on us. Get out. What have you done here? What have you done here? He said, is it? He went, Alim Sahib. And this is the difference here, subhanAllah. Here comes the difference of the obedient student. And so he didn't look for excuses. This is against Sharia, this is against Islam. Except it was Aqeedah. He had so strong Aqeedah in his Shaykh. Whatever my Shaykh says, this is according to Sharia. I will not question mark him, challenge him. I do not consider that he's wrong, said the Alim. But thousands of excuses. He was an Alim, scholar. He knew Hadith, Quran, verses, and thousands of faqih statements and jurisprudence, and he knew answers. But because his Aqeedah was strong, he went to the Shaykh to correct himself. So he picked himself up, he took his bag, and he went. He went to the barbers. He said, shave my beard. When the beard was shaved, then he went around in the city. What was his hal? People stared at him. Everyone knew him. Oh, this man, he was, what was he before? That his hal, he was demoralized. That he, this is such a big sin, such a big alim. And example you can take from some person in your eyes who's a big alim, scholar of this city, and he does this. What will you say to him? You'll criticize him, rebuke him. Today they do it for pictures. It takes a minute. They'll start texting, sending messages in the whole world. He'll become famous. He's done this sin. So imagine how he was demoted and rejected and abused. When he came back to his sheikh, his nafs was melted away. It became water. He put his hands together and said, Hazrat, oh, my problem's been solved today, Hazrat. Now I've understood that where is my nafs and what was my nafs saying to me before this? SubhanAllah. So eventually, where is the place? First and foremost, our success is based on what? On what? Crushing the what? The desires, killing the desires. Every ibadah is secondary. A primary ibadah, crush the desires. Number two, to kill the desires, what do we need to do? What weapon do we need to utilize? Sohbat the Shaykh, company of the Shaykh. Third point, if you get sohbat the Shaykh, even then every man's nafs is not crushed. That person's nafs will only be crushed if he has aqeedah 100% in his Shaykh. He'll have greatness of his Shaykh in his heart. You understand why does the Shaykh say? Because the Shaykh wants to cure his student, solve the student's problems, and he shouldn't have any caution. Whatever order the Shaykh gives, then he should put it onto his forehead. He doesn't should say, why is my Shaykh saying this? Or he dislikes what the Shaykh says. I remember my waqia. Don't take badly what I say. Can I share with you an event of mine, a small event in my life? I'm a small person. It was Hajj time. I was with Hazrat Sahib, and it was maybe my first Hajj in my life. And 35, 40 years ago, I'm speaking about, I was young at that time as well. And I was in the company of Hazrat Sahib. I went to do Hajj. And at that time, Hazrat Sahib always would sit, mashallah, in the same place in front of the Kaaba. And this was the days of Hajj. And I was also on Hajj. And now we had to hit Shaitan with the stones. And this was a big event. Many people die at that time when you stone the Shaitan. Because there was a lot of tragedies that took place at that time. There was only one bridge and the path was the same. There were lots of people. Anyway, so I went and there was a group with us. And there were other people, young men, etc. And obviously, nafs does his work. So we went, there was a lot of rush. We saw this. And he said that you can throw the stones from distance. And you can throw the stones from far away. We've asked this alim. Because nafs is there, and we need an excuse. Oh, this alim asked him. He said, it's fine. And then the name of the alim came, oh, okay, if you asked, have you asked? And then instead of going close and hitting the stones, the kankri, we threw them from far away. Yeah? So after that we came back, and then Hazrat Sahib saw me and said, you've come back? I said, gee. Hazrat Sahib said, did you throw the stones? I said, gee. Hazrat said, how? I said, Hazrat, obviously I couldn't lie to my Shaykh. I said, Hazrat Sahib, I threw the stones from far, like this. And this was the final day of Hajj. And last time, the final days, as people were coming back, you know the final days of Hajj. The final day, the last day, in Mina. Then you're about to return. There's no one going to Mina. Everyone's returning. Question doesn't rise. Where will people go? So much rush. Everyone's coming back. Everyone's hordes, crowds. There's a big hordes of crowds, masses. You can't go in the opposite direction. There's no chance to go back to Mina. I thought, no car, no, you can't walk because they won't. No one will give you space. It's difficult, miles away. So Hazrat Sahib looked to me and said, okay, the nafs, we need to correct the nafs. He's not done the right thing. He hasn't corrected himself. Hazrat said, go back right now and throw the stones at the shaitan correctly. And obviously the next night I'd have to spend the night. Then again, the additional night. Yes, this is the game today, innit? Nobody wants to spend the extra night. Hazrat Sahab said, throw the stones again and then come back. Allah, I thought, I've cooled now. The nafs, imagine my hal at the time. Severe heat, and there was no transportation, and a long distance, and Sheikh's hukam. I had to go and throw the stones again and come back. And I did the action against the sunnah. That's it. So what can I say to you further than that? How waswas of shaitan came. This is the point. If my aqeedah was not with Hazrat Sahib, if I didn't have the greatness of Hazrat Sahib in my heart, I didn't have the love of Hazrat Sahib in my heart, then most definitely thousands of excuses would have come in my head and I would have rejected what Hazrat Sahib said. I would have left the company. Why? With shaitan, waswasa, nafs, severity. Alhamdulillah, Allah's karam, fadl, Allah's mercy. The first time I went into Hazrat Sahib's company, I made true niyah, that I want to crush my desires. Yes, so when insan, he thanks for Allah Ta'ala, then I tell you from my experience that it was even for hard time comes, aswab Allah, big sin comes in front of you. Big sin, that it's on your head, the sin. But that shucks, that individual, the sheikh, if he, the student, reaches with the right honest niyyah to the sheikh, Balila, then Allah will always save the student from the sin. I swear by Allah, I tell you the truth. Not that it's a big sin, the big test will come to you in your life. Big test. But the khalis, I'm speaking about the success of the hereafter. Success of the rota. Why? Because your first niyyah was honest. I have no other objective that I want the hereafter, nothing else. I want to annihilate my sins. I want all of this contamination to come out of my heart. I want everything to disappear, my nafs to be crushed. I don't want to obey my desires and never follow my desires, because this will destroy my life. So after saying that, then you run and you go to the company of the Wali of Allah. And that time, you only take his hand at that time to take bayah, because I want to follow the guidance of the Shaykh, to obey Allah's orders. I want to correct my desires and bring it up to thy level. Leave the rest in your life. Many tests will come. Imtihans will come. When Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَادُ فِينَا, Allah says, that I'm with those who are the muhsineen. Allah's put the condition, لَازِم, that with this servant of mine, Allah says, I'll always be with you. Always be with you. And I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you alone. Subhanallah. So the man comes out of the biggest tests and trials and challenges. Soon as the nafs is about to overtake him, he's reached to a big sin from Allah, such a rahmah, such awakening of rahmah, mercy comes. He comes out of the test, he overcomes the hurdle. So my colleagues, you are on a journey to a destination, this world you sat in, the environment you sat in, my friends. Allah has given a very great favor on our individual lives, that we have been given a connection with a great Sheikh, subhanAllah. This darkness, such a light Allah has given to you, all of you, Allah Ta'ala has given this. Alhamdulillah, such a great light that I say that if you seek the light, you will never find this anywhere. You will never find this anywhere. Where is Allah given it? In the depths of darkness where sins are committed. On every footstep corner, every second there's a sin. Every moment there's a sin. Here you have to, you can't protect your eyes, your tongues, your bodies. Shaitan attacks from every angle, every corner. In this maqam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected you individuals and given you such a great reward, such a light, that if our niyas are correct, subhanallah, and if we are honest and we desire, then subhanAllah. Allah won't just show you the path. I swear and I promise you that on the day of judgment you won't arise like this. You'll arise like Ghaus, Qutb and Abdal, the highest levels of walis of Allah. Such a big maqam you'll have. Because in such a place in the maqam, you're doing mujahidah. You're striving, making effort, and you don't listen to the words of your nafs, and you will implement Allah's ahkams, orders, and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. You won't fear anyone, you won't be afraid of anyone, everything, your desires will be crushed. Come, Allah's promised, I am with the muhsineen. And it doesn't matter what tests come on you, what trials come on you, if your niyyah is correct, I swear by Allah that inshallah, Allah will not allow you to drown. Allah will not allow you to drown. I swear by Allah. So, brothers, my colleagues, let's correct our niyyah. Don't fear, don't tremble, make your niyyah strong. I've come to a friend of Allah, I've sat for this reason. I have no other intention, game, drama, I want to attain anything in the world. I have one maqsad, one objective, look at your desires, cry. Cry, okay. So how will we be successful? How can we be successful? When we have strong aqeedah in our shaykh, whatever order the shaykh gives, then it's an inscription on the stone. Does the inscription on the stone ever get rubbed out? No. That's when the nafs will be crushed. If you start thinking, well, for example, I'll give you my desires. If I start thinking, has Allah told me to go back? Then there were many paths for me to get out of that trap. Or that test, sorry, test. Well, imagine my hal, how I got to Mina again. How I can't imagine how I did it. But Allah Ta'ala says that I give you the help if you have the intention. Such help Allah gave to me, I was amazed myself how Allah assisted me and helped me. And then when I did this mujahida and came back to Hazrat Sahib, then I cannot say to you that in my heart there was a light, illumination, the Kaaba was there. Hazrat Sahib would sit in front of the Kaaba on that corner of the Rukn Yamani, that corner that goes at the angle, the line, and Hazrat, the ghost of his time, is sitting there. And a fakir, his student, alhamdulillah, has just implemented his order and come back. And the time is night, 3 a.m. Hazrat Sahib sat me in front of him and in front of the Kaaba. Just in front of the Kaaba, Hazrat sat me down. And Hazrat Sahib gave me the asbaq, the lessons of Naqshbandi tariqah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Hazrat said, yo, young man, you did the right thing. Young man, imagine the mujahid I did. You can't imagine. It's tough. I could have run off. I could have left it. Ignored it. So this is the result. But Allah Ta'ala gives big rewards. An insan at that time gets rewards of the Akhirah hereafter. Such a true, genuine, clear path. I say this to you regularly when you come to this masjid. Then this masjid becomes a khankah. You know this masjid on Friday night? Then I remember all my khankahs. Manchester, here, there, Hazrat Sahib's khankahs, London, and everything. Because there's a beautiful effect in this small room in this masjid. I don't know why, but the spirituality comes out. I always think that today, I don't want to speak about any sheikh, wali Allah, do they going to go back? But I don't stop. I start speaking again. The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen come to my mind. When I'm here in this masjid on this evening, from Ilyas Bhai, mashallah, he's done a good job here. He's put some good paint. He calls us with passion, mashallah, Ilyas Bhai. May Allah Ta'ala keep this masjid filled until Qiyamah. And may Allah Ta'ala take all the hardships away from this masjid. May this glow and shine and sparkle amongst all the masjids in the Akhirah. Subhanallah. All Ramadan, we do dhikr in this masjid. All Ramadan, tell me. In this masjid, from Asr till Maghrib, and there's no other masjid, there's a record, this masjid, 30 days of Ramadan, from here Ramadan started and here Ramadan concluded, subhanallah. And what a great jamaat of doing dhikr of Allah, in those 30 days, 1.5 hours, they sit here and do dhikr. Will this masjid's maqam not be great of this small masjid? Amazing, amazing maqam. So my brothers, value, appreciate this opportunity. This is a great reward of Allah. First and foremost, what do we need to do? That the sheikh we have got, whoever is your sheikh, have aqeedah in your sheikh, belief your sheikh, have azmat, greatness of your sheikh. If your sheikh tells you, leave this, leave it, it's haram. Leave it, put the padlock on it. Say, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Don't start to tremble with your legs. 3 degrees, PhDs I had done, so much degrees and education, big jobs I had offered to me. I'm not praising myself, I'm just encouraging you. Don't worry about dunya. I'm encouraging you, my colleagues, that I had degrees, PhDs, MSc. I could have got big jobs, posts, I had offers, job offers, big posts. My husband said to me that don't eat haram and never become a peer and sit on your couch. Earn with your own hands, work, always. Always, I swear by Allah, from one day to the end, I was hungry. We had poverty in homes. I didn't go towards haram. I left all jobs. I went onto the road. I swept the floors. Did such jobs that my sheikh ordered me. I had yaqeen in my sheikh. Believe that rizq will come. Allah will give the wealth. Remember that what company of my sheikh I had, I've put my degrees to my side. I stopped working. I didn't want employment. Who was going to give me employment? Not even labor job was given to me. In the factory, I wasn't getting jobs. Hungry, poverty. My wife, she was in a bad state. Home, no food. We had a small room, no food on the table, no shopping. But the sheikh gave me hukam that you have to earn halal. Number two, with your hands. So I can't sign. Hazrat said, earn from your hands. All my life long, I'd never done this. Never did I claim. Okay, I'll take some money for a flat, for this and that. No, sheikhs, hukam. Order. Tell me this. Now think yourself. Nafs desires that it takes time. If this is not the play for one day, for many years this drama continued. The nafs was desired, it drowned. But I said, whatever happens, whatever Hazrat Sahib said, I'm going to do. That's it. People's cars, I saw their houses, their enjoyment. Now I sat on the pavement. I had nothing. وَمَيِّتَّقَلُوا يَجَلُوا مَخْرَجُوا I was sat down on the prayer mat. And there was an argument at home, some friction, tension. I said, no, I've got to go. In that day, there was the Arndale Centre was new in Manchester Centre, big centre, shopping centre, shops made. And rich people were buying the shops. They had wealth, they could buy shops, leases, etc. In that day and age, we're talking decades ago. So at that time, I said, okay, we've got to go. And my family members said, no, we've got to go there today. We need to, what's there? So I had a small broken down car. We went there. Then, where are we now? What's this? And I was stood in the corner and a brother came to me. I'm telling you the truth. It's not a story. I'm trying to encourage you. A brother came to me. He said, are you Faruqi Saab? I said, yes, yes, I am, yes. Subhanallah. Oh, he said, I'm looking for you from the morning. I said, me? He said, yes. He said, how do you know my name? He said, don't you know I'm Yunus? I said, it's from Lahore he was. I said, yes. He said, I realized that you're in a bad way. You're down nowadays. And I respect you. I've got respect for you in my heart. I said, no problem. That's okay. Everyone has highs and lows in life. He said, no. Forget the stories. What you do? Here, this shop I bought. Arndale Centre shop. And he said, I've got a lot of debt. You take this store for me. This shop. I said, me? Arndale Centre shop. Dunya's running on Saturday, busy day, and we are hungry. My family is a bit down. I said, shop? No. He said, just take this shop. I said, are you joking with me? You used to joke, but today you're doing a big joke, isn't it? You're taking fun of my poverty, my being down. He said, can I show you? Look, let's come. Look behind. He said, there are 4 or 5 men. They are running after me from morning, give me deposit for the shop money. They give me deposit. I said, no, I'm going to give this shop to Faruqi Saab. You've come now. Here, take the keys. I got no time. This is your shop. Subhanallah. And when he said this, immediately I remembered, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala said, now the test is finished. Allah promised. I said, give me the key. This is from Allah. End of story. This is not your shop now. Fine. I said, now show me the shop. He showed me. Here's the shop. Okay, I'll go now. And there was poverty before that. After such a long time, I was an owner of a shop, of a business. Subhanallah. And I'm giving you encouragement. Tests come in life. Highs and lows. I'm very weak. MashaAllah, you're brave and pious people. But if your sheikh says it's haram, finish this. Then don't start to shake with your legs. Then be prepared for this. Do you want Jannah or do you want dunya? World. Tell me. What do you want? What do you want? Jannah. Then if you want Jannah, then do the work of Jannah. Then make the connection with the sheikh. Isn't it? Then you'll enjoy yourself in Jannah. If it's haram, leave it. Sheikh said, that's it. Teacher said, okay, sheikh said it, fine. Pick up your belongings and go. It's haram. One person came to me, an individual. He was a millionaire, very high, so-called in state surah. He came from Pakistan to meet me. I said, what is it you do? I said, he said, I do this business, that business. And the color of the deen rubbed off on him. I said, there's a condition. If you want me to be your sheikh, then you have to listen to your sheikh. Otherwise your nafs will not be crushed. He said, please give me the hukum, order. I said, what you need to do, all the money of interest, go and finish that money. Be gone with it. He said, second action, that this job of yours is haram, leave this. Third action, as a third action, that follow the Sharia. He said, your three conditions I accept. Accept, he said. Subhanallah. That same time, Allah made him a Naqshbandi Sheikh. Naqshbandi Sheikh. He went back, and people verbally, I tell you, people came to meet me with their tickets that we just wanted to see that what Sheikh is there who changed that person. We can't even recognize him now. And all of the millions of rupees, Arab, he gave it away. He threw it onto the streets. Sharia's every order, he brought it into his life and he resigned his job. وَمَيْتَقِلَّا. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, this is Jannah. Allah says, do the bargain of paradise with me. Is there anyone who wants to do the bargain transaction of Jannah with me? Is there anyone who wants to give me a loan? Allah says, understand the Quran. That this is what will get reward. I'm doing dhikr, I read Quran, and I'm doing service of the thing. These things won't give Jannah, brothers. These things won't give Jannah. Take the hand of Allah and make your lives proper. And give away your desires to Allah. Put a value on your desires. Crush them. Yaqeen in Allah. Believe in Allah. Allah says, stand up. Do mujahidah. I'll make you do mujahidah. The sahaba karam. Look at the companions. There was a verse that was revealed in the Quran. That nation, they would stand and say, Allah, when will our help come? When will our assistance come from Allah? They awaited Allah's assistance. Look at the times, the tests, the challenges that came in the sahaba karam's lives. This is the good news that Rasulullah gave. That this sahabi of mine, he will do this. This sahabi of mine. And from his hands, he will get gold. And from here, he will get riches. And he will do this. They had nothing at that time. Dust. Soil. Subhanallah. But Allah's words, promises are high. And the promises of Jannah Allah has given to us that you'll be pious, I'll give you this. If you lie, you leave lying, I'll give you this. And if you leave this thing, I'll give you this. Allah says, if you're women, if you become pious, I'll give you this. How many women Allah praises in the deen? Tell me. How many women? If you do dhikr and crush your desires, I'll give you a high maqam that all the people of Hashr will be envious of you. Subhanallah. So we do this transaction, brothers? Do we make this bargain? What's the transaction? Yes, that we will obey the words and orders of our sheikh. And whoever obeys the orders of the sheikh, then the nafs will be crushed. And a person who doesn't have a sheikh, then look for the sheikh. Look for the sheikh. That's what we need to do. The path is difficult, but it's also very easy at the same time. Very easy to implement. That's it. That you just need to grab hold of the rope. Whose hand? The sheikh. And even if he keeps shaking you, keep shaking and traveling, and the doors of Jannah will keep on opening for you. Abdal you'll become, and Ghaus became like this, Qutbs became like this. Everyone in the history of Islam, no one was successful who did not put his nafs assigned to his sheikh. Nobody achieved success. And whoever stays arrogant and stubborn. And if the sheikh is there, sorry my student, I said this to you, are you happy with me student? Nowadays, please, Amruz are like this, that if you say something, oh my student, you haven't come for many days in dhikr, I was looking for you, and the student, did you take badly what I said to you? What I said in the bayan, are you upset? I haven't seen you for a week. Nowadays, the sheikh has to run after the student to plead for him to come back. Is this tariqah? Is this the mahal of the khanqah? Subhanallah. The khanqah's mahal in front was this, the Hazrat Sahib said, that no happiness for the man who comes and no grief for the man who leaves. End of story. But bakht, unfortunate, is that person who comes to the gathering of the Wali Allah and he leaves unsuccessful. But bakht in this world and thereafter, he's wretched in this world and thereafter, and it's written in his destiny, he's but bakht, wretched. And the final stage where Allah Ta'ala wanted to give him Jannah and forgive his sins, the sohbat of the Shaykh, Allah wanted to elevate his status, make him pure and clean, and save him from the fire of Jannah. He has even slammed that door shut as well. The door of the Shaykh sohbat, he is wretched, but bakht. May Allah never reject anyone from the company of the Wali Wala. Remember this, may Allah give me the tawfiq. I'm also like you. I want to be pious as well. May Allah make me pious, and may Allah make you more pious. May Allah Ta'ala accept our majalis. Ameen.